There was a time when maybe they got saved, or maybe they just had been saved for a while and finally got lit up. And they got active, and they started going soul winning, and they started reading their Bible, and they started teaching Sunday school, and they started doing something for God, and I don't know what happened to them. Most of them get offended. You know, like I said, you know, we got thin skin, get upset about everything. And, you know, maybe they got offended. Somebody sat in their pew. I was in church one time last. Now look, I don't know who works pew we're sitting in. We got it. It's ours. And if that offends you, I just won't show up next Sunday. So there. But I had a lady walk up to me. I'm the visiting speaker. And she goes, "Well, this is the pew I usually sit in." And I went to get up and step on her foot or something, you know. And I was nice. I said, "So, okay, yeah, you know, we'll move." And so I moved to another pew and let her sit there. She slept anyway. But but people, you know, they get upset. They get offended. Somebody that didn't make me a deacon. They didn't let me teach Sunday school. They told my kid to shut up when he needed to be told to shut up. But but you ask any pastor, and they'll tell you about guys that nobody knows where they came from, and nobody knows where they went. But there was a period of time when they did blow well. You know, I remember when I got saved back in 1970. You know, over the years, there have been some guys that have just shown up on the scene, and just like a shooting star, you know, it just kind of... You guys remember Bob Harrington? You guys remember the chaplain of Bourbon Street? I think now he's gone to Bourbon. You know, that guy was, I remember hearing tapes of him back in 1970 and 71, and man, he was a go-getter, and I think inside of 5 years, you never heard anything about it. Never again. There was another guy, a guy named John Todd, and I remember getting tapes about him. You know, you always worry about these people that you never see bodies. They just exist on a piece of celluloid, you know, and this guy, John Todd, and he was a witch or a warlock or whatever he was, you know, and probably running Disney World now, he came on the scene and everybody's talking about him. It was big deal. Now look, you know what I'm talking about? I'm probably talking about somebody in this church right now. I'm probably talking about somebody maybe coming to this visiting church. I'm talking to somebody tonight that you say this, "I'm going to stick with the Lord. I'm going to stay." You ain't going to stick with the Lord. You're probably going to... You can't think of what it'll be, but I'll bet you it'll be something small. You know, I never have found anybody left church over doctrinal reasons. Most of them leave over a stupid reason, and then they discover the worst thing in the world. You know the worst thing in the world is the worst fact in the world. That's not that you're wrong. The worst fact in the world is you can't stay mad forever. You see, you leave because you're mad, you leave over a stupid reason, then you get out, and then you can't stay mad, so you cool down. Then somebody sees you and says, "Why did you leave that church?" Now that you're not mad, your reason doesn't look so good anymore. And rather than say, "Well, I got mad and I kind of overreacted, it's kind of stupid." So instead you go, "Well, you know, there's some problems in that church. I just don't want to say anything about it. That's okay. You know, that's just better left unsaid." And then you disappear. People, I wouldn't want to go to heaven and live 60 or 70 years and have an eternity to enjoy with Christ, and all the rewards I have came in about a 5 or 10 year segment of my life. Someone once told me, I don't know how they can figure it, I don't know how they do it, and I didn't be right. But they said that the average life of a Christian is 5 years. The average service life of a Christian is 5 years. Now, what that means is that for everyone that does 20, somebody's doing about one. But the fact is that people come in and they disappear. It's just like, just get the center out. You know, just throw the ends away. Don't worry about the beginning. Don't worry about the ending. Just get this little center while you're excited and you're going to do something like that. You've seen people. You've seen them come in and they were all talking about what they're going to do for God. And they did run well for a short time. And then I told you the second one is where you take the front of the cookie, you put the front in. And you taste the front cookie. You know, there are people in the Bible, as God looked down and tells us about their lives. Now remember, God sees all these people born, does he not? And does he see all of them live, and does he not see all of them die? So he could record every single person mentioned in the Bible. He could record their birth. He can record their life. He can record their death. So somewhere along the line, something's caught his attention here, something's caught his attention here, or something's caught his attention here. This first group he caught just the center. Then there's the guys that you see their birth. And you might even see a little bit of their life. And then they disappear. There are very few births mentioned in Scripture that end up not being prominent. I'll talk to you in a while about some prominent births that are recorded. But you know, there are a few. Now, when I say prominent births, I'm talking about basically when the kid was born, somebody expected him to do something. I think of 2 Kings chapter 4. It tells about Elisha. In fact, I'll show you some. Go to 2 Kings chapter 4, and you'll learn a lesson here. And it's called Never Feed a Preacher.
Watch out.
Yeah, this is it. This is you'll find out what happens when you feed a preacher. Look what happens, verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. That was the mistake right there. Well, watch what happens. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Well, that's like I found some fried chicken. He could show up every time. No, just stop by to see how you're doing it. Just baked bread, did you? Oh, sure, okay, yeah, I'll stay. And this lady had no children. The Bible says this, look at verse 11. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and he lay there, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him, and he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he called her, she stood in the door, and she's a great woman, so I bet she stood in the whole door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. The woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. You know, now this little boy, when he did something, don't you know, here was a family that had no children. Obviously, somewhere along the line, they had tried to have children, could not have children. And I remember I was in church one time, and this lady was expecting a child. Her and her husband had been married 17 years. 17 years and no children. She's expecting a child. And I'm telling you, pal, they were happy. And they were excited about this child. And you know, if you have waited 10 years, 12 years, 17 years for a child, you think you're having a president. You know, God had us wait 17 years. We think that God's going to do something with this child. I think that's not what the dad said. But I mean, that's basically what you're believing. All right? You know, we don't know what this kid ever did. I mean, he died once. But other than that, we just don't know. We don't know what he did with his life. You know, you read in the Bible about the birth of Ishmael. His birth is in there. But you don't read about him. Good night, man. Ishmael, my goodness. 95% of the problems in the Mideast right now, you can answer with one word, Ishmael. The Bible said he'll be a wild man. Does that not describe the neighborhood where the Jews live? It said his hand will be amongst every man. Does that not describe the Arabs? I'm sorry, that's Ishmael. But you don't find anything. You know, it's kind of like when it was born. Hey, you know what? Do you know what Abraham said? Abraham, he thought that Ishmael was going to be the promised seed. Wasn't be. You have Esau. Esau's birth is recorded. But Esau, man, I'm telling you. Now, Esau was not an American. We have proof. He's the only man said something nobody in this church would ever say. You wouldn't dare say this, not you. When his brother tried to give him a bunch of stuff years later, Genesis chapter 37, when he's coming back, he says, what's these herds coming? He says, well, I sent those to you, my brother, you know, those are gifts. And he says, I have enough. That's why I knew he wasn't American. Obviously, they have a charge card. I haven't seen an American yet that ever said, I have enough. Okay? But you know, you don't read anything about Ishmael or Esau. And this worries me. This of the all four, this one worries me. Because, you know, I'll tell you who I see here. Most of us, my birth was not prominent. In fact, I'll tell you when I was born. I was born 2 years after... Are we alone here? If this one moves, I'm out of here. Anyway, I was born 2 years after my parents' last child. And so they thought. They had, two years before I was born, they had a boy, my brother, my older brother, and they must have took one good look at him and said, enough of that, you know. And so they got rid of all the baby clothes and all the baby furniture and said, no more kids. And 2 years later, I am what was known in 1950 as a surprise. Okay? Today, I'd be known as an abortion. And personally, I think surprise is much better. I tell folks this pro-abortion crowd, what some of them don't know is that if their parents would have had the option to have an abortion, they might not be here to be pro-abortion. Which is the only positive thing that I could say about abortion. I think y'all have late-term abortion. You know, some of them are like 25 and 30 years old. I think that's still not too late, you know. But my birth was not auspicious. It just didn't mean anything to anybody. They almost adopted me out. My folks didn't want me. And, when you were born, nobody made a big deal about it. But, you know, there have been a few people that when they were born, everybody expected something. Don't you think that when Prince Charles, now I'm talking about Charles, was born, first off, what did they think? Someday's going to be king. So did he. I bet you would tell someone to shoot his mother. I bet that guy'd like to shoot his mother in a heartbeat. I bet he sneaks into her room every morning and takes her pulse. And who would have thought this many years after the guy was born, he'd be a divorcee, right? With an illicit affair with a married woman, and still not on the throne, probably never will be. What I'm saying is when the guy was born, there were great expectations. And what happened? Just kind of never materialized. My birth was not noted. I got three sons. You know that the birth of all of my boys was special. John was born in 1976. That's when I was in evangelism in 1976. And we knew a lot of folks around the country. And when John was born, that was a big deal. And Nathan was born in 1980. And at the time that I was born, I was on the staff of a church in Massillon, Ohio. And everybody thought that was the neatest thing. Little Nathan, and when Luke was born, I was pastoring a church in upstate New York, and you know, when somebody, and I don't mean this in the wrong way, but you know, your preacher, some of the staff, that's a little bit prominent, so when their kid is born, and I'm sure Buddy gets it, you boys gonna be a preacher? You don't tell them no, but my girls are. Anyway, you know, I get that. People say, well, your boy's gonna be a preacher? I said, well, you have to ask God. I'm not in the calling business. I mean, that's not my job. I'm not going to rubber stamp them. They're not going to be a preacher just because their name is Gip or they're my son or anything like that. And, you know, in their early years, I consider Luke still in his early years. Really, Nathan is pretty much being 19. They all did some pretty good things for the Lord. Every one of them have won people to Christ. I remember one time Luke was about 9 years old. And I was preaching this little country church in southern Ohio. I mean, little dirt road, outhouse, you know, that kind of thing. And it's like a one-car wide dirt road. And Luke is nine, and he's talking to a nine-year-old girl, eight-year-old girl across the road. And they can't cross the road because he's not allowed to cross the road, and she's not allowed to cross the road. And he's witnessing to her. And so he finally says, can you take a track? And she said, well, I don't know. I'll have to go ask my mom. And he said, well, you go ask your mom if you can take a track, and I'll go ask my mom if I can cross the road to give it to you. Now, is this innocence? And so he went and asked Kathy, could I take this girl a track, and I cross the road to give it to her? Yeah. And her mom said she could have it. And so he came back. He said, I got permission to cross the road to give it to you. She said, well, I have permission to take it. And so he crossed the road, gave her the tract, then walked back across the road and kept witnessing to her and led her to Christ across the road. All of my boys, all three of them, have read their Bible through. I don't know how many times Luke's been through it. I want to say three or four. I don't know what the last count was on Nathan or Luke or John. What I'm saying is that, you know, you see a birth and you say something's going to happen here. Hey, for all I know, that might be all they're ever going to do. Wouldn't it be a sad thing when you're 20 years old to have the greatest part of your Christian living behind you? You know, some of you kids, you were born, they made a big deal about you. You know, all three of our boys, we dedicated them to the Lord as children. I didn't say we baptized them. I didn't say that it was, you know, some big act of Congress or act of God. We just gave them back to the Lord. They were His. And you know, some of you young kids in this church, you were born, and your parents, they prayed for you, and they probably dedicated you. And if not here in the service, I guarantee you, somewhere along the line, they gave you back to God, and you got into church, and you got excited, and there was a time you talked about the Lord, and you know, you guys went soul winning, you know, at the teen activity, and you came in talking about how you won two or three people for the Lord. Wouldn't it be a sad thing if at age 20? You retire from serving God. That could happen to any one of my kids, happen to any one of Buddy's kids. Doesn't matter how good you start out. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks you're going to do. And it sure doesn't matter how brightly you burn at the beginning. Here was some verse they expected. So they expected something out of this kid. Well, if it came, we sure didn't find out about it. We didn't find anything out about Esau. We didn't find anything out about Ishmael. Well, they did. When they were born, they talked about this. This kid's going to be something. Whatever it wasn't worth noting by God. Boy, I'd hate to think, you know, that you live your first few years in church. Listen, I know some of you gripe. You say, oh, it made me go to church. Thank God they did. Thank God they did. Listen, I'm telling you, you ask Buddy, boy, when you live on the road, our kids, we have ate in church. We have slept in church. I mean, we've seen our kids curled up under a pew. They've played in church. I mean, it is such an integral part of their life. And it's understandable. They just say, one of these days, I'm going to get out of church because I don't have to be there every night. And I'm never going to look back. God forbid. Happen. Can happen. And I'll tell you, now, I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want that one. Then there's that one where you eat the center and the back part. And I found that when God looked at people, and here's this group, He looked just at their life. You don't know where they came from, where they disappeared to. They just had these few years in the center. Here's this crowd that they were born and then disappeared. Here's this crowd that kind of came out of nowhere. And this crowd came out of nowhere, and God follows their life at some point. He just kind of picks up the story. They appear. They appear fully grown. They appear living their life, and then He picks up the story and takes them all the way to the grave. Now, there's a bunch of good ones here. You know that the birth of David is not recorded in the Bible. He's just going to end up being a shepherd kid and really a nobody, and probably the runt of the family. He was the youngest. He was the guy they made him all shine the shoes. His brothers pushed him around. You know, man, listen, ask the young kids. Nothing worse than being the youngest. I was telling Buddy, you know, we got this new trailer, and Nathan was with us when we got it, and he's with us over the summer, and he walked in the back bedroom there, which is now Luke's, but Nathan was here. And he says, that's my bunk, that's my closet, you know. And we had the trailer about a week or two, and I said, well, Luke, how do you like your room? He says, well, I like it a lot more when Mr. Take-Up Space leaves. You know, when you're a young guy, brother, listen, that kid is fought, brother. He had two older brothers, they just work him over. He's a fighter. And David, there's nothing that tells us anything about David, but boy, he finished pretty good. Yeah, I mean, we can find a chink in his armor, but let's face it, I mean, a man after God's own heart, you can't name a second person that God described that way. He was undoubtedly, I don't care what Solomon did, listen, Solomon never lasted like this guy. He was obviously the greatest king that Israel ever had. Now, where he came from? You know where does he show up? He shows up like in the middle of the movie, he's out in the field watching his sheep when some guy says, "Dad wants you." What are you doing? Oh, there's some Samuel the prophet's at the house, and he won't leave until he meets you. Dad wants you. I'll watch your sheep. That's where he shows up. So we don't get his birth. But I'll tell you what, we get a pretty good life, don't we? And then he he dies. We record his death. You know, there's just some folks that did something for God. You know, Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, he's an Ur of the Chaldees. Nothing in the Bible records the birth of Abraham. Nothing tells us about his life. One day, God taps on the shoulder and says, "Get out of Ur of Chaldees. Go down to Canaan. I'm going to show you what I'm going to give you." My goodness, man, Abraham. I mean, Jew or Arab, they both claim Abraham. We claim Abraham. That's just about everybody wants part of Abraham. You know that? And this guy did something pretty good. And we got his death. Stephen. You know, Stephen, we don't know about when he was born. We just know that when they were looking for a man that was full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom and of good report. That's how they qualify him in Acts chapter 6. When they said, "We need a guy that is honest report, he is full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom." Now look, if somebody walked into this church and asked the pastor, "I need a man who is of honest report, he's full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom." And he went, "Oh, I'll tell you the guy in my church, this is the guy." Well, when they looked for that, they said, "Oh, Stephen, that's the guy." Now, if he preached two sermons, we don't know it. I mean, Buddy made make people, some people, I was talking to somebody asked me, said, "You ever make people mad when you preach?" I said, "Well, I must have." I got my van, somebody got right on the, right in the windshield, right in front of the driver, and with a ring or something, kind of scratched the windshield. I didn't notice it until you hit it in the sun, and the sun had hit it, and somebody took off the lug nuts on one of my tires, and we found that halfway. Texarkana, Texas is where it became known to us. But I tell you, man, listen, I don't care how mad Buddy ever made anybody. I don't care how mad I've ever... I made some folks mad. I know one time I made this lady so hot. I was talking about Christian rock music. Oh, man, I'm telling you, I toasted her. No, I didn't know, but you know what's neat is when you position yourself at the only door, they've got to shake your hand. And I saw this lady come in, and I'm telling you, man, I mean, she wanted to kill me. And I thought, now, this ought to be interesting when she shakes my hand. Let's see what she said. And she came up and she went, "Well, I love you in the Lord." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "That means you hate me in the flesh, right?" Well, now, isn't that really, when you have to qualify, "Well, yeah, I love them in the Lord," that means you wish their skin would fall off. That means they cannot die soon enough to please you, but you love them in the Lord because you know that you're required to do that. "Yeah, I love them in the Lord." Well, I'll tell you what, brother, listen, Stephen preached a message, everybody came forward and killed it. But his death is recorded. I don't know, guys. I know this. If you only preach one sermon, we've got the entire text recorded in the Bible. That's not bad. Considering there's no tapes. Really, that's an amazing thing. God recorded every word of the guy's message in this book. You know, now this is where I'd like to be. This year, in the last 2 years, I can think of three good preachers that have all gone home. Nobody recorded the birth of Jack Wood. Nobody recorded the birth of Lanny Hasbrook. Nobody recorded the birth of Don Mangus. And somewhere after their birth, they got saved. Probably, I know as far as Jack and Lanny, and probably Don Mangus too, probably all hellions. And then they just showed up in church. They got doing something for God. I'll tell you, there's three guys that, brother, I mean, they could preach the bark off a tree.
That's right.
And they kept going to their last breath.
Amen.
There may have been some men who ran as well, just not as long. Now, I want to run well, but guys, I'll tell you, man, I don't want to run well and not make it to the finish line. I watched this stock car race one time, and this guy was leading most of the race, and he's coming around the last turn. That track is like 2.5 miles. He came around the last turn in the lead and spun and never did cross that finish line. Oh, man, let me cross the finish line. I want to get across. Now, I don't know how long I got. Now, I know, yeah, I'm like you. I think the Lord's coming in my lifetime, but I realize there's more people dead and buried that made that statement than are alive right now. I'm also like you. I thought we should have been gone by now. We're not. So, you know there's nothing guaranteed that if the Lord tarries 10 years. Let's say the Lord's coming 10 years from today. You know there's no guarantee that Sam Gibb will be preaching 5 years from now. You know there's no guarantee he'll be preaching 4 years or three or two or one. There's no guarantee. And you have heard, in however long you've been saved, haven't you heard about enough preachers that won't be making it all the way to the end? God forbid, people. God forbid. I'm going to tell you, listen, if you don't make it all the way to the end, don't you blame your pastor. Don't you blame some preacher. Don't you blame God. You quit. All right? Somebody upset you. Somebody bothered you. Somebody broke your... You stuck your thumb in your mouth. You got your lower lip overinflated. You pouted your way home and never came back. It was you. Now, I'll tell you something. My dad didn't love me. He just didn't. You say, why? My dad had good taste. My dad did do some things. My dad taught me how to work. My dad taught me to pay the bill. You know what I took? I took the good from my father. I learned how to work, and I like to work. And I pay my bills. But you know, my dad didn't love me. I never in my life did I hear my dad say, I love you, because he didn't. He wasn't a liar. My boys hear it every day. See, I could say it this. I tell you what, my whole problem was I was born 15 years too early. I am always too early. Really, I'm always too early. Listen, here's why. Before I got saved, I was a crook. Stole cars, got arrested. You know when they arrested me for car theft, they asked me why I stole cars. You know what I told them? Because I was a crook. How stupid! If I'd have been born 15 years later, I'd have said, my father doesn't love me. I was just reaching out to him. They'd arrested my dad. I would just blame the old man. See, I could have said it. And there's guys, you know, say my dad didn't love me, and they use it for an excuse to not love their kids. I don't buy that, pal. Listen, what your dad did right, learn how to do something right. What your dad did wrong, just don't go make the same mistake.
Amen. Amen.
Take what he did wrong, take what your mom did wrong, and use it as a bad example, and don't do it in your own life.
Amen.
No excuse for this. And see, here's what happens. I mean, here somebody says, my preacher made me mad. So I quit. Oh, aren't you? Your preacher made you mad? Hey, listen, I asked a preacher one time a Bible question. You know what he said? Go read your Bible and find the answer. Oh, man! They're my buddy! Man of God! I got a question! Yeah, go read your Bible and find the answer. I should have dropped out of church! 10 years later, somebody knocked on my door! Why aren't you in church? I'll tell you what, man. I'll tell you, man. I asked this preacher a Bible question. He told me to read your Bible, get the answer yourself. I dropped out right there, partner. You stinking limp-wristed wimp. Man, I'm telling you, what did they do? Put all your food through the blender? I want to get to the end. Now this, listen, I'm already here under protest. I've already been here longer than I ever thought we should be here. I personally think we might have 20 to 25 more years. Yes, I really think that, and maybe longer. Maybe, listen, I may die of old age tomorrow. But that's the way it feels. But you know, this would not be a bad crowd. These guys that just showed up. They just, there they are. Where'd David come from? Where'd Stephen come from? Where did these guys, they just show up. That's all right. Because they ran all the way to the end.
That's right.
And then there's these.
Watch out.
These are these ones that God is looking down from heaven. And one day when this kid is born, he says, put a birth announcement about that one right there. Well, why is that? Hey, listen, I'm God. I know I'm just mentioned he was born. They mark down when this kid was born. And he records what he did in his life. He says, now, put his obituary. I brought him home. Well, you know, there's some folks that God records their birth and their life and their death. Can you imagine what that must be like? Now, there's no way I could ever be on that one. My kid could.
That's right.
I bet Buddy's kids could.
Yeah.
Aren't you preachers' kids could? I mean, kids that when they were born, somebody thought they might do something. Listen, you know what? My kids have an opportunity to have something. There is no way, no matter how much I wanted it, never could have. From beginning through life to the end.
Amen.
You know, the Bible tells us about when Isaac was born. Man, you find Isaac all through that book of Genesis. We was there at his wedding. Remember? We were at Isaac's wedding. Genesis 24. And we watched him right on to the end. We even know his favorite dish. And if you don't know it, read your Bible. I'm going to tell you. Spaghetti. We was there when Jacob was born. Man, we know Jacob. Listen, we know Jacob's act. First act before he's even born. We watch this guy all through life. Don't buy a used car from Jacob. It is your fault. Don't sell Jacob a used car. He'll end up he'll cut the price in half and give you. You end up giving him your transistor radio too. I mean, this is how Jacob was. But you know, we followed him all the way through. Well, this guy here, he shows up with a dozen kids that change history, and then God recorded his death. That's an amazing thing that God would notice their birth and their life and their death. We watch, man, that's amazing. That's what you see in the movie, the guy that started to the end. We got the birth of Samuel. We've got the years when he was a child. Listen, you read in your Bible about when God called him. You knew when God called him. It's the first name of chapter 3. You were right there when he called him.
That's right.
And you were there in chapter 12, 1 Samuel, and after 40 years. Now think about this. You want to see something remarkable? Look at 1 Samuel chapter 12. I'll show you something Bill Clinton dare never say to anybody. You know, if you led a country, look, man, we had this whoremonger. I'm sorry, there's no better word. He's taken the IT out of White House and put OR in. And we had this guy in not even 8 years. And look what we know about him. What if we had him 40? You think you know a guy after 40 years? Look what Samuel says. Verse 1. Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that you said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. Behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Now watch what he says. You have to be careful what you say. Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it. Well, you know, they're just some guy. You know, when Gary Hart was running for president some years ago, and somebody said, there's a rumor that you were with some woman, and he said, that's not true. He said, just follow me. Well, they did. Well, it's just the wrong thing to say. Well, that's like the guy, you know, walks in a bar and says, I can whip anybody in here with one arm. One guy stands up, kicks a table clear across the room, says, you can. He says, no fair, you got two. But, you know what? You rule people for 40 years and say, now, if there's anybody here that I've done wrong, stand up. An entire nation. Look what they said. An entire nation answered in this response. Verse 4, and they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. What a testimony. What an amazing testimony. I mean, man, for a guy to stand up and say, if there's, hey, you know, there'd be some preachers. Just be afraid to say, is anybody here?
Hey, if there's anybody here that I took a bribe from, if there's anybody here that I've cheated with, just stand up. Yeah, well, one at a time. Could you form a line? Never mind. This guy in 40 years, brother, 40 years, an entire nation said, you have been good. Man, that's from his birth, from his call. We watched his life right to his death. Man, it's an amazing thing that God, you know, that God was watching. I mean, God's paying attention to this thing from the very beginning all the way to the end. Wasn't that amazing? John the Baptist. You know that every preacher, you, how long have you been preaching, brother? I figure. You know, okay, four preachers here. Any one of us have had a ministry multiple times longer than John the Baptist. 6 months. Right? 6 months. But we saw his birth. Then he just kind of out there in the wilderness getting warmed up. When he shows up, 6 months, and with a 6 month long ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ describes him, there ain't nobody born of woman greater than that guy right there. And then it's over. Boy, can you imagine that? I mean, how many preachers? Yeah, preacher only preached 6 months. Oh, no kidding. Oh, I just couldn't make it. Well, he cut his head off. Well, I'll slow you down. But from the beginning to the ending, you want one? How about a manger in Bethlehem?
Yes,
I mean, a manger. You talk about humble beginning. You talk about starting out at the low end of the spectrum. And being good all of his life. 12 years old, he's challenging the doctors in the temple. And brother, he's asking them some questions, brother, about the Big Bang and about the dinosaurs. And they're going, whoa, where's your mom, son? Don't you need to get home? You know what? Listen, from here to here, you know what? If there was a tombstone for him today, and there ain't, because there ain't a tomb for him today. But if there's a tombstone for him, you know how they describe his life from beginning to end? He went about doing good. Well, you know, when you're dead, I mean, if they had to reduce your life to a sentence, that's not a bad one, is it? You couldn't say that about Clinton. Really, you couldn't say it about him. He went about doing good. And we saw his birth. We watched his whole life. Listen, four entire books in this Bible just dedicated of us walking day by day through his life. And we saw his death. And then the epilogue. 3 days and three nights. We saw him come back. That's pretty good. There are very few here. Very few. That could qualify for that last one. There are very few here that when you were born, it was special. I'm talking about, really, I know all kids' births are special to their parents. But I'm talking about when you were born, people said, that kid's going to do something. But I'll bet there's kids in this room right here. Maybe some older people. I don't know. Maybe you're somebody's son or daughter, and when you were born, everybody expected great things out of you. I don't know. But if that's true, there's very few people that qualify for this last one from the beginning of just pop that whole Oreo in your mouth. Now, personally, I like the whole thing. I can't even get in there. I'm not qualified, couldn't be qualified in 100 years. Nobody cared when I was born. I just showed up. You know what the jury's still out on in my life? Am I going to be the first one or the third one? Am I going to be just the cream in the middle? Or are we going to follow this story to the end? Now, maybe you can't get this here. So what if you don't get everything? You look at this end, okay? Because some of you, you know where you are tonight? You're the same place I am. You're in church. I'll tell you why you're in church. You're in church because you want to be. You're in church because you chose to be here. You're in church maybe because when you were lost, you remember how lost you were.
Amen.
You've never forgotten it. You don't want to go back to it. But let's face it, pal, you ain't dead yet. Until you do, the jury is still out, and you are the one deciding vote. Nobody gets you out of church but you.
Right.
Nobody will. Now, how are you going to finish? That's your decision. You going to walk off into the night and disappear? Come back in 3 years. Say, Brother Shapiro, who was that one guy? He was here last time I was here. And I go, Brother Yelly, I don't know. I mean, just went out one day and he kind of got, quit showing up on evening services. And just, we can't get him back in. He's gone. Only you can do that. Only you can decide you're going all the way to the end. So you make a decision. Eat your Oreo any way you want. I want to go to the end. I want to go right to the last breath. I want to go right to the last heartbeat. I want to go to the end. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God. I thank you for saving me. Lord, if you had saved me and left me where you found me, in the mess, in destitute, if you'd have left me where you found me, I'd still be better for having met you. And then, God, that you called me to preach. Brother, you called Brother, God, you called Brother Buddy to preach, and Brother Shapiro, this other brother here. And so now here we are, Father, and all of our lives, and Christians in this room right now, their lives, some of them just like me, they just came out of nowhere. And now they're in church. And we all expect to be in church to the day we die. And I don't believe, God, in a crowd this size. I do not believe that everybody in this room will be serving the Lord to their last breath. Someone will drop out. God, I don't want to come out of nowhere and disappear into the night. I don't want to spin with a checkered flag with insight. God, I pray that you'll help us. You bless Brother Lance. You bless Brother Buddy. You bless this pastor. You bless these people, Father. God, help us, because we are human and sometimes we brood and sometimes we just feel sorry for ourselves. But God, help us all to make it to the finish line. I'd like you to record our death. That's still a good crowd to finish with. God, for any of these young people, maybe even some of these older folks, maybe they started out and people expected something of them for God. Well, what an opportunity they have. God, they get an opportunity that some of us don't even qualify for. You recorded their birth. And maybe they have run well. Boy, God, I hope they finish. I hope you're blessed by the lives you gave us. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and stretch for just a minute. I've said it before in this church. I have a vision for this church. I know what I'd like to see our church become. And sometimes I share a little bit of it, sometimes I don't. But you know, more than anything, my goal is to be there at the end and be able to say, I've finished my course. I've run the race. I've done everything God wanted me to do. And I've got some of you guys have seen in my office, I've got several preachers who've gone on to be with the Lord. And on the bottom it says, these all died in faith. And I got that there to remind me that it can be done. Because I'll be honest, brother, sometimes, you hear this one goes and that one goes. And I think that guy was a way better preacher than me. That guy was doing a lot more than I'm doing. And sometimes I just need to be reminded it's been done. It's been done. There are people who may have gotten in late, but they finished. And I got in late, but I can finish by God's grace. So I'm thankful for that. I don't even like Oreos, but I like that message, amen. And I hate chocolate, but is anybody too warm tonight? Just too warm? A couple of y'all want me to maybe crank up the fans a little more? Okay, the thermostat, it basically is a little knob that turns that thing on faster or slower, so I'll turn those up a little bit. Let's go ahead and have Brother Buddy come up and go ahead and get his family situated. May want to move Miss Gibbs' harp up away from somewhere, doesn't get kicked over. And let's do this. Anybody got a testimony tonight? Just something the Lord's done for you this week while we're waiting for Buddy to get set up here? Anybody? The Lord has just blessed you. I've been blessed just by having these guys here and fellowship. It's fun for me to watch preachers who've been at it a while. Just watch them fellowship. I can sit back and just enjoy watching them fellowship. Amen. It's good to be with them. And so God's been blessing me just having them here. But anybody else got something God's done for you this week? Yes, Annie Kay? Yes, sir. Yeah, that's a blessing. How many of us? We've got prayer lists full of people who are praying. My dad, pray for my sister, pray for my uncle, somebody. Who's that back there? David, have a testimony? I didn't get. Okay. Okay. Your friend got saved? Prayer request. Okay. Any testimony? Any other testimony? My brother Buddy's got one. He's going to sing some of them to us. Amen. Okay, here's your microphone, brother. I just want you to know, we're going to change gears a little bit, okay? Brother Buddy does not preach like Brother Sam. And I like to mix it up a little bit. I'm glad the Lord just sort. I mean, the Lord put this thing together. Brother Sam said, hey, I got this date up. I said, well, you got Brother Buddy coming too. You guys don't mind preaching together. I don't mind having you together. And he's just different, amen? Brother Buddy's different than Brother Sam. And it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to all the nights. And if you can be back here, you ought to be back and get in on this. Brother Buddy, it's yours.